You don't have to be rocked. You are on the rock, Jesus Christ. Take the time right now. Silence your phones. I don't want any interruptions. You are on the rock, Jesus Christ. Many times we say we get rocked. You don't get rocked. The world gets rocked. I am on the rock that is stable, that is forever, and His name is Jesus. And we're moving on, moving forward, as God has intended for us to do. There's times that we will experience difficulties. There's times that we will experience valleys, and that's okay. The trying of your faith brings forth patience, and let patience have its way. And so it develops the character. God's people were enslaved. They've been slaves for hundreds of years in Egypt. And the time had now come to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. Moses was the instrument, but with all his excuses, he said, I can't speak. I'm not a good spokesperson. So God said, I'll send your brother Aaron with you, and he'll do all the talking, and you just talk as I'm talking. So they approached Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, this is what God had instructed us to share with you. Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Now you think about that for a moment. The most powerful man on the earth at that point in time that had used the Israelites, the Hebrews, to build cities, he really used and abused them. They were cheap labor. And after many, many years of slavery, Moses is sent to tell the most powerful man in the world, let my people go so they can worship me. Guess what? That didn't go too well. Pharaoh did not accept that. He started questioning, who's this God, etc., etc. And as you read it in the book of Exodus, Moses only asked for 3 days. Let my people go into the wilderness for 3 days so they can worship me. That was the timeline. But God had another timeline. And I don't know why Moses said 3 days. But in any case, he said it. Because Pharaoh hardened his heart, because Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, wasn't open to this kind of thing, of course, the plague started. And so he would melt down a little bit and then he'll get obstinate again. I don't know what it is about men that always get obstinate at times, but that's who we are, right? We dig in. So he dug in and he paid a price until the last plague when the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed, none of the Israelites. So, of course, he let the people go. And then we find something very interesting. God had intended them to go to a place and he changed the direction. But it's amazing when they left, the Israelites took so much with them. So it was strange that Pharaoh never knew this is a long-term thing. But after they had been away, we find something very interesting in Exodus 14, verse 10. As the Egyptian army approached, and this was the decision made by Pharaoh after he was consulted and he was given advice and regretted the fact that they let the cheap labor go, he got his armies together and said, let's pursue them. As the Egyptian army approached, now notice the people of Israel saw them in the distance. They're in a desert, so you could see a while. Saw them in the distance, speeding after them, and they were what? Terribly frightened. What other translation have you got there? They panicked. I like that. They panicked. Why would they panic? God's with them. Didn't God lead them out there? So why are they panicking? Can I give you some advice? Don't be too critical yet, because we do the same. And they were terribly frightened and cried out to the Lord to help them. Notice, they were terribly frightened. Saw this vast army. What do you think went through their minds at that point in time? when they saw the Egyptians in a distance coming towards them. We're going to die. We're going to die. I find something so astonishing and so amazing as Pharaoh was pursuing and they were terribly afraid. Instead of Moses rebuking them, he says something that is so inspiring. Rather than rebuking the people for their murmurings, their lack of faith, he says the following in 14 verse 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Remember last week, the people were whining and the people were complaining, and nowhere do you find anywhere that Moses took anything to the Lord, but the Lord said, why are you crying out to me? Go forward. And we'll get to that. So somewhere in between, Moses cried out to the Lord and say, man, these stiff-necked people are driving me nuts. What are you going to do about this? And that's what we pastors do sometimes. We go to God and we say, these stiff-necked people, what are we supposed to do with these people? But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. And here's the direction for every single one of us this morning. When we are in a fix, don't be afraid. And I'm going to take you through that this morning. Because the Israelites found themselves between a rock and a hard place. Have you been there? Have you been between a rock and a hard place? If anyone says no, you're a zombie. No, we're not supposed to say that. No. We've all been there, and if you haven't yet been there, you're going to get there. Maybe some of the younger generation say, I haven't been there. Hang on, honey, you'll get there. You'll get there. You're going to have a rock and a hard place somewhere along the line in this journey called life. The Israelites were there. What were they to do? And God taught them through Moses, and he teaches us what to do when we're in the position of a rock and a hard place. What does he teach us? What did he tell them? Don't be afraid. Don't fear. It is human to know fear. It is human to be scared. It is human. We have that potential within us. We have those experiences. But I can only begin to imagine how skeptical those words, don't be afraid, were perceived by the Hebrews. Try and put yourself in this position. Because we read about it, but we can't relate to it sometimes. The only way we can relate to it, if we bring it down to our experiences, some of our valleys, some of our rock and a hard place. And here we discover that these guys were in a fix. And Moses tells them, do not panic, don't be afraid. Let's just paint the picture for a while for you, just shortly. These million plus 2 million people with all the animals, the great caravan in the desert, as God had told Moses to let Pharaoh let go of the people so they can worship. And he's taking the people, the Hebrews, from slavery to freedom. But in between slavery and freedom, guess what? There's a desert. You and I'm heading towards the new city. But there's a thing between us and the new city, and it's the journey of life. And we can experience desert experiences. We're going to have it. But please understand the concept of this and look at the picture. When Moses told them, don't be afraid, they were on their way to Canaan, to the promised land. But there was something facing them, something they had to face. What was it? Now you will understand the seriousness of the situation. What they had to face was the Red Sea. So what do you do? There's a caravan of people going towards the place that God intended for them to be. They're facing the Red Sea. Behind them, they've got Pharaoh and his chariots. What do you call that in a fix? Between a rock and a hard place. With that in mind, facing the Red Sea, do you think by any possible means in their mind that they would ever, ever have thought the Red Sea can part? Oh, now they're in a mess. Now they're in a mess. You and I would not have thought that neither. Oh, we can come with our hyper faith today because we've read about it. Oh, we can come with our positive confession because we've read about it. But once you face it, all that positive confession goes out the back door. It's only when it's ingrained in your spirit. There they were facing the Red Sea. No possibility of... And by the way, how long... Whatever road's going to be, how long is it going to take? But more than that, yes, Pharaoh and his army now noticing the Red Sea before them, noticing Pharaoh behind them. Moses has the audacity to say, don't be afraid. Mate, what planet are you from? You are telling me not to be afraid. There's the sea behind me. There's in front of me. There's Pharaoh behind me. And you're telling me, don't be afraid. Don't panic. Where have you been all your life? Oh, but he's heard from God. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like when you hear from God. The Bible says they were very afraid. They were terribly afraid. In other words, they were terrified. And this is what I want to share with you, what happens when you are terrified. When you and I become afraid, when you and I at times doubt the ability of God, certain things happen. Because fear plays havoc with your lives. Fear leads you to do certain things. One of the things that fear leads you to do is to find fault. You want to find fault with everybody and find fault with the situation. That's what fear does. Fear does not only lead you to find fault, it also leads you to falsely condemn. What does that all mean? Well, we'll look at it in a minute. Because that's exactly what happened to the Hebrews. They cried out against the Lord and against Moses. Why? Why did they do that? Because they feared. When you and I fear, we do the wrong thing. We shouldn't, but we do. Well, let's look at Exodus 14, verse 11 and 12. Look what it says. And they did what? It's so quick to turn against the leader, especially when the leader tells you, don't be afraid. So quick to turn against the leader. We see that all the time. Leaders in ministry see that all the time. The minute something goes wrong or the minute some people don't want to hear what they need to hear or what they want to hear, they will go against it. And they turned against Moses whining. These stiff-necked people. Look at what they say. Have you brought us out yet to die in the desert? Because there was not enough graves for us in Egypt? Oh, man. I think if I was there, I would have told them straight away, zip it. Zip it. You want to go back? Go back. I'm going forward, man. Not enough grace for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you make? You see how they're shifting the blame now? Nobody made them leave anything. Isn't this what you told us? Oh, here we go. You said so. Why we were slaves to leave us alone. We were slaves. To leave us alone. We said it would be better to be slaves to the Egyptians than dead in the wilderness. Oh, really? That's what you're saying? Not only does fear lead us to find fault and falsely condemns, it blinds us to a healthy perspective. So many of these things were false accusations. Now they're focusing on the problem. And may I share with you this morning, never focus on the problem. There is someone greater than the problem, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't want to leave that song. I don't want to leave any legacy but Jesus, right? Jesus. So in the midst of trials and tribulations, don't start blaming. Firstly, take responsibility for your actions because maybe you caused it. Then work through it. But here was the situation that God was in the process of teaching these people what it is to be free, but in teaching them how to be free, they've got to learn to trust. Something they never had while they were in Egypt. They couldn't trust. They were mere slaves. Now they got to trust. And you and I fall into that category. The just shall live by what? By faith and not by sight. We can see the sea, but we got to know there's somebody that's greater than the sea, and his name is Jesus Christ. His authority is above all authority. God can make a way where there is no way. God specializes in that which we think is impossible. He specializes in that. But we've got to learn to trust him. Oh, what an experience. What an experience. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong learning to experience this kind of, develop this kind of trust. Look at this quote. In the midst of fear, what happens? Is that true? It's true? In the midst of fear, we forget all that God has done. That's exactly what happened to the Hebrews. That's exactly what happened to God's people. They had forgotten the plagues, the power of God during the plagues. They had forgotten how they had been miraculously delivered from the most powerful man in the world. They forgot that. And I would submit to you this morning, human beings, they've got a short memory. When you get older, there is nothing left. They had forgotten how God was guiding them. And that's why you and I at times forget about the power of the Almighty God. When you become a born-again child of God, you're a new creation, a brand new person. When you become a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, adopted into the family, when you can call God my Father, it transcends you. It takes you to another position. Because in that position, you can now have the confidence all things are possible to them that believe in Jesus Christ. All things are possible. It doesn't necessarily come at our timing. And so I've discovered, as they had forgotten, we've forgotten. And look at the next quote on the screen. Fear blanks our mind to what God does and blinds us to what he is seeking to do. Because we're focusing on the problem. We're focusing on the sea. We're focusing on the chariots. But we're not focusing on the God that is supreme. And that's one of the most challenging things for a child of God to do, to focus on a being that he cannot see. We somehow are conditioned to walk by sight. We are conditioned to walk by, be affected by the things we see. But fear blanks our minds to what God does and blinds us to what he is seeking to do. In other words, fear paralyzes So the lesson this morning is don't fear. And throughout the New Testament, you'll find God instructing us through the writers of the New Testament, do not fear, do not fear. Don't be anxious. Do not fear. And I don't know how many times it's mentioned in the New Testament, but sometimes we find it difficult to apply that scripture because we are stiff-necked people at times. Why am I the only stiff-necked person here? I have come to the point in my life, in a very young age at that time already, where I realized that without God, I can't do anything. And within that stubbornness within me that I believe is part of my DNA through my mother, and most of you don't know my mother, she had come through two world wars, and if there was ever a stubborn lady, that was her. Short lady, but dynamite. She had no problems using her fists. No problem with it at all. So I grew up in a very loud and aggressive household. We would stand our ground. And I never forget one incident. I was a young teenage boy and I observed this and I saw this at times and I saw this occasion and I thought, I'm her son. And I've got to watch out. The way she treated that individual, I could be next if I disobey her. And I don't want to go down to the ground. Well, a person had come to the door. And he was a little adamant about something. And a young male. And he was giving my mother lip. And my mother told the individual to go. And the individual didn't want to go. And she got out there and she stood her ground and she said, I tell you to leave my property now. Well, the guy was back chatting and he was giving her more lip. And eventually she stepped off and he backtracked and she said, I will punch you. Well, the guy, wah, 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 and she says, you're going to regret this. Well, there was a rake next to our door on the outside. And my mother took this rake, and she said, I will teach you a lesson. Well, the guy took off. And I think that was the worst thing, because the rake took off after him. And she floored him. He went down to the ground. So from that day on, I realized I need to obey my mother. Because I will go down to the ground. So now you know a little bit about my background. This is the first time you've heard that in all our years. Maybe now you don't want me to be your pastor anymore. And that's okay. But fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes your outlook. And then I find an amazing thing what Moses said to them. Do not fear. What do you think was the next thing he did? Ephesians 14, 13, the full verse. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't panic. Don't be terrified. Stand still. Are you joking? Are you joking, mate? I must stand still and watch the Lord rescue me today? Sure. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. How would you receive that message? Think. How would you receive that message? The sea in front of you, Pharaoh the enemy behind you, and Moses says to you, don't panic. Don't panic. God's got this one. Stand still. Stand still. In other words, what he's saying is not only stand still. If you read it through other translations, it says stand firm and stand your ground. Stand firm. Well, I've got no other ground to go to. I'm standing on this ground, and on this ground I'm going to be slaughtered. Stand still. Well, how do I tie this in with the New Testament? How can I see that which God has allowed me to see in the Old Testament is a lesson for me in this day and age? I've got to put them together. And of course, I did do it through the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 11. We're going from the natural to the spiritual. And then Ephesians 6, verse 11, New Living Translation, second edition, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to what? Stand still. Stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So if we take that, there was a strategy in the Old Testament. If you want to, Pharaoh was the devil. Not in person, but being used. And God is telling his people to stand still. And God is telling you and me, stand firm. Remember, in standing firm, you are not being rocked. Because you're on the rock. And notice, when forces are pressing in upon us, when we can't see any evidence of God's work in our lives or any light at the end of the dark tunnel we are passing through, when we're in a fix, we need to remember the words God told Moses to tell the people. Do not fear, stand still. Stand firm. Our problem at times is that in standing still, you're overstaying your stay. Because you can't stand still for too long. And we'll see that. Stand your ground. And I'm going to share with you through experience. One of our problems that we have is that we act too quickly when we find ourselves in a fix. We panic. And we want to find a solution. We don't stand firm. We don't stand our ground. When we're in a fix, we look frantically for the nearest possible escape. I need to get out of this now. And then what happens when we find ourselves in that fix? We act foolishly and we do things we shouldn't do at times. What are some of the things we do? Well, one, I'll share with you what I experienced way back and no longer, because I've learned. Somehow, when we're in a panic, we take advice from people that we should not be taking. We take advice from people that we should not be taking. And the only reason we're doing that is because we're desperate. And we think and believe people have the solution. There are times people can give you advice. Absolutely. The Bible says, and go through the book of Proverbs, you'll find that. There are times people can give you advice. But there's a time that it's you and God. And when it's you and God, cut this thing out about running for advice. Because many people now all of a sudden become very spiritual, and they give you all kinds of advice. And if you start listening to the advice that people give you, you get so mixed up that you don't know what to believe anymore. The one says, do this. The other says, do that. Wait. What does God say? What does God's word say? So we frantically run around looking for advice, taking advice in this. Meantime, we should be standing still and waiting and allowing the Holy Spirit to instruct us and guide us. And that's where we miss it at times. We hear the voices of the people, but we don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit cannot be heard in the midst of a rush. Are you limiting God? No, I'm not saying I'm limiting God. And the reason I'm saying in the midst of the rush, I am so busy that I can't actually hear his voice. But it's time that you and I must learn to hear that voice, because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Advice. I want you to know advice is good from people at times. But going to too many people for too much advice can cloud your thinking. So be careful. One thing I do know, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me into all truth. As long as I get the advice and the advice coincides with the voice of the Holy Spirit, I'm okay. But I've also noticed through my years in walking with God that sometimes people will say something and it doesn't tie up with the Spirit speaking to me in the inside. So what do I do? I must make a decision. Do I listen to the voice of people? Or do I listen to the still small voice inside? I've learned. Listen to the small voice inside. Because oftentimes that voice contradicts the voice of the people. But when you listen to the voice in the inside, the people will think, well, what's the use of giving you advice? Because you don't take it. No, I do. But I've got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and make sure that what the people are saying confirms this voice. Not this confers that voice. This is the primary voice. And he says to them, stand still, stand firm. What now? I'm standing. The sea is in front of me. Pharaoh's behind me. You tell me don't fear. You tell me don't panic. You tell me stand still. And then all of a sudden I find something in 14 verse 15, Exodus 14 verse 15, New Living Translation, second edition. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And that's the verse that I mentioned earlier on. Nowhere prior to this, if you want to do your homiletics, nowhere prior to this do you find Moses talking to the Lord. But somewhere in between the people complaining and Moses, now Moses hears from God and he says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? So there's no evidence that Moses cried out to the Lord or not recorded. Now notice what he says. Why are you crying out to me? What was he crying out? As I said early on, wasn't he not going after the people condemned him, after the people ridiculed him, after the people said, you brought us out here. He went somewhere and told God, what am I going to do with these stiff-necked people? And God says to him, what are you crying out to me for? Well, excuse me, sir. You're the one that told me to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to what? Tell the people to go forward. I want you to look at the next translation, the Living Bible. Then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying. What? God, you tell me I must always pray. Now you tell me to quit praying. What do you want? Must I pray or mustn't I pray? Quit praying. And get the people moving. Forward march. I love that translation. Forward march. We're marching to Zion, the city of the King. Come on. Forward march. I love that. You see, God never brings his church or people into positions from which retreat is necessary. Let me say that again. God never brings his church or people into positions from which retreat is necessary or in which advance is impossible. Never. We bring ourselves into that position. We bring ourselves into that position. God's outlook is always forward. God is always busy with new things, new things, new things. Even if you look at it today, you are a new creation, a brand new person. In the near future, there's going to be new heavens. In the near future, there's going to be a new earth. God is advancing all the time until the ultimate. And so we discover God never, never brings us into a position where retreat is necessary. The only reason retreat is necessary is when we stop to trust and believe him. But when God tells you to move forward, you better believe God will make a way. He will always make a way. Forward! Sometimes we must stand still before we go forward. But we can't stay on our knees forever because God's ultimate call is to go forward. Now, picture ourselves in this situation. Israel's are bewildered. Red Sea before them. Pharaoh's army is pressing in from behind. They seem to have only one choice. Think about that. They seem to have only one choice. What is that choice? Think of the logic of this. Put yourself as human beings in that situation, the Red Sea before you, Pharaoh behind you. Logically, there seems to be only one choice. One thing you've got to resolve now. Surrender. Surrender. And most probably they looked at it this way. If I go forward, they're going to drive me into the sea. I'm going to die. If I don't surrender, we're dead. But if I surrender, they'll either kill me here or they'll take me back to be slaves. The way I think possibly could have happened, and that's surmising, is he would have slaughtered the whole lot of them because of their disobedience. But maybe not. Maybe they were cheap labor that he could once again use. They seem to have only one choice, to surrender to Pharaoh. The alternative Moses is giving is go forward. How astonished they must have been. How could they move forward? The Red Sea before them. The story of the Red Sea is not recorded simply to tell us what happened to God's people long ago. It's there to teach us. All things happen as examples to teach us what to do. And here we come to one of the toughest lessons any one of us will ever learn. Prayer is essential. Prayer is good. But unless we rise from our knees to obediently follow the Lord, prayer is a farce. Because prayer unctions you to go forward. Not stand still. To believe God. So what am I saying this morning? Pray and continue to pray in prayer while going forward. Now, what do you think went through the minds and the hearts of people when Moses told them, go forward? I think as a human being, this is how I would have done. Every step, God help me. Jesus, please, please, Lord God. I'll be praying every step, not every minute. I would be calling upon him most probably every second, naturally. Of course, as you grow in the Lord and you hear the voice of God and you go forward obeying the voice of God, you know, help me, help. You know what to do because the shepherd has spoken. This is the lesson. It is only as we take the step forward, only as we act obediently, that the power we need to do what God calls us to do is given to us. Look at the screen. God's power is given to us in proportion to our obedience. No obedience, you're not going to see the power of God. Why should you? Why should you see the power of God in disobedience? Oh, there are consequences in disobedience. But God's power is given to us in proportion to our obedience. How do I know that? Well, suppose that Moses had not believed that divine intervention would be possible. Exodus 14, 16. Now I want you to put yourself in Moses' position. We've been long enough in the Hebrews' position. Now let's put ourselves in Moses' position. Why are you whining? Tell the people to move forward. And as for you, sir, as for you, Moses, lift up your staff. Sure, my walking staff. Lift up your staff. Lift it up. Stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. Are you crazy? I'm going to make a fool of myself in the presence of millions of people. I've got to raise my staff, stretch my hands out towards the sea, and I've got to divide it. Israelites, watch me today. I'm going to stretch my staff, and the sea is going to divide. You believe that? You see the Pharaoh and his army? You see the sea in front of you? And God tells me, the leader now, to raise my staff, raise my hands. I don't know what it must have been like for him. Of course, he's seen all the miracles through the plagues. He's seen the provision in the desert. But there's one more challenge. Stop praying and move forward, because you have not reached the place I have prepared for you. That's where you and I come in. Pray, move forward, because you have not reached the place that He's prepared for you yet. And the place that He's preparing for us, the Bible says, eye has not seen. Ear has not heard that which He prepares for those that love Him. So we're moving forward. We've got to be like Moses. Move forward with obedience. Oh, look at the quote, please. Many a miracle has never occurred because there was no one who believed it would. Many a miracle has never occurred because there was no one who believed it would. In other words, God provides His miracles as we expect those miracles. He gives us power according to our obedience. Raise your staff. Speak the word of faith. And as you go through the scriptures, what happened? And I thank God for a man that obeyed the voice of God. I thank God for Moses that wasn't much influenced with making the final decision. Remember, just prior to this, he was ostracized. Prior to this, he was criticized. Prior to this, he was ridiculed. Prior to this, he was blamed. But he heard the voice of God. Though it may have been a stern, firm voice, he heard the voice of God and he acted on the word of God. You and I must act on the word of God, regardless of what the masses are saying. The masses are saying, you're doomed. I am not doomed. And I will not say I am doomed until God says I am doomed. Because God will never say I am doomed. He's raised me to higher heights. He seated me in heavenly places. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of my heavenly Father. He has not raised me to doom. And He's not raised the Israelites to doom. Although they see the Red Sea, they had to see it so they could trust Him. You and I, we're seeing our challenges. We're seeing the problems. We see our difficulties. But learn from God's word this morning. Trust. The lessons we've learned from Exodus is remember what the Lord has done. Trust. Obey. Don't fear. Stand still. Move forward. Why? Why? Child of God? Visitors? God. Listen carefully to me as I conclude. God never disappoints. Never. Never. You can trust Him. You can believe Him. And as you obey Him, you will see the miracles within your life and your pilgrimage upon the face of this earth work out for the good to those that love the Lord. Trust Him. I know some of you are going through difficult times. I know some of you have had a difficult week. Some of you have had a difficult 2 weeks. But may I encourage you this morning, God is not finished with miracles yet. God is not finished with leading and guiding us yet. God is developing that within us so that we in turn can obey Him, believe in Him, and know that God never disappoints. Never. I will ask you this morning, do not listen in the times of trouble. Do not listen to the voice of the masses. Do not listen to everybody else. When everybody else tells you it's okay, first check in God's word if it is okay. And if you have to make a decision that in God's word it says it's not okay, you disobey the voice of the masses. Because you and I will never stand and give an account to the masses. We're going to give an account to God. And so, can we revise or revive that phrase that is on our coin? Should we change it, in God we trust, or do we say in the masses we trust? It's sad that our country has moved away from that concept. In God we trust. I don't see much of that much anymore. But you and I, we will not be rocked. We're standing firm on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not be tossed to and fro, because you are rooted in the Word of God and you know in whom you believe. I'm going to ask you for a few moments to close your eyes. I'm going to ask our singers to come and just minister to us in song. And I want to pray for you this morning. Some of the folks that have gone are going through a very tough time. Why don't you just come up and let's pray? I tell you what, you are seeing the Red Sea in front of you. You are seeing Pharaoh and his armies behind you. You in a fix. You in a position of, Lord, what do I do? And maybe some of you just need that encouragement this morning, that prayer of faith to operate within your life. So as they sing this song, I'm going to ask you to stand. And those that do need prayer this morning, one prayer, you want prayer, nothing wrong with that. Come and stand in front. I'm going to pray with you. You are not a victim. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you're not a victim. You're a child of the living God. You might be a baby in Christ, but that does not really matter. God's power is just as great in babies than in adults in Christ.
Hallelujah.
His power is not determined by being a child or being an adult in Christ. His power is for His children to experience and be manifested. Listen to the song.
Messiah, my Savior, there is power in Your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in Your name, in Your name. There is a truth,
yes, Lord,
older than the ages.
You in a fix.
There is a promise.
Come, let's pray over you.
Things yet to come.
Nothing wrong with that, folks. I love you.
There is one born for our salvation. Jesus.
Stand and sing.
There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom.
Reach out
from the chains that bind us.
Look up to Him.
Jesus.
We're going to be praying for the people up front. Sing along, worship Him.
Who walks on the waters?
You want to?
Who speaks?
Have prayer. You want me to pray with you? You want Heather to pray with you? Come. You will get through this.
He roars like a lion.
Obey the Lord. Trust.
He carries my healing in His.
Let the Red Sea be parted.
Jesus.
Let your enemies be conquered.
I call in times of trouble.
Oh yes, listen to that.
There is a song.